Hello, folk. welcome to Shift Church this week. I'm just checking. Oh, yeah, look, Facebook is working. That's great. And the recording's doing, so this should be on the podcast and on the YouTube upload. So, hello, everybody. I'm Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Wellington, St. Catherine's Eton. And I've got some folk with me here on screen, or if you're listening, you'll just hear their voices floating out of the ether. I've got Lynn with me. Say good evening, Lynn.
Hello, people.
And Liz. Say hello, Liz.
Hello, Liz.
Oh, very good, you see. And Liz is going to be keeping an eye on the comment stream on Facebook. Those of you who are here with us live on Wednesday evening, do say hello, ask questions, comment, pray for each other. Liz will pick up anything that we feed into the wider conversation.
I will when I can find it. At the moment, it's not come up in my notifications. It usually does.
Oh, it's a bit bizarre.
There's usually a time lag.
It often is a little time lag. Just bear with us a minute. I will go back and check. It tells me, and I've got three viewers.
Oh, wait, now I've just come up now.
Oh, there we are. We found it. Brilliant. That's all right then.
How bizarre.
Yep, so some of you are now with us live, some of you catching up on the podcast. Whenever you're with us, that's great. This is Shift Church. That's the whole idea. It shifts around in the week or around different places as well. We have folk local and folk a long way away joining us to have a think about some scripture, to pray together, to worship together. Which is lovely.
Yeah.
And we are getting closer and closer to Christmas Day. 10 days today. Is that 9 sleeps or 10 sleeps? Does anybody work it out?
What, are we on the 15th? Is it like nine? I think it's 9.
You reckon it's 9 sleeps?
You're
just ignoring it, are you? Well, you're wearing quite a Christmassy jumper there, Lynn.
This is my charity shop bargain.
Oh, nice. Well, that's good.
Resolved not to buy any new things this year. But I needed a jumper, so it's a charity shop.
Very good.
Why not?
Christmas jumper.
We've just been carol singing, haven't we, outside?
Oh, that's chilly.
No, it's lovely and warm. Well, not warm. It's not cold. It was part of the BBC Radio Shropshire Carols in the Square, Carols on Your Doorsteps thing. So we got folk from the neighbourhood round, and we had a fire pit and marshmallows, and I borrowed a big speaker from church so the whole street could hear us.
Well, yeah.
A whole street could hear Radio Shropshire playing carols, and we sang some carols. Yeah. Had a bit of mulled wine.
Yeah, so now very sleepy.
Oh, well, I'll do it.
and then on Sunday, for those of you who are local to Wellington, we've got two carols by candlelight services, one at St. Catherine's at 3:30 and one at All Saints at, I want to say 6:30, but it might be 6 o'clock. 6:30. There you go. So lots of opportunities to start singing carols. But strictly speaking, it is not Christmas yet. It is still Advent. So we're still thinking about preparing for Jesus' return. So we'll be thinking a bit more about that later. So perhaps get us in the mood. I've got another bit of a spoken word, poem-y, video-y thing as a thought starter for us this evening. And so what we're doing, we're just going to take a bit of a breath, a bit of space, put aside the things of the day, whether you're in the middle of them or you're at the end of the day or at the start of the day, things are weighing on you, and just be aware of the presence of God. And let's see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us through this video. So let's do this. I think it's this one.
Six in the morning, the breeze is slightly blowing. As I sit on my chair, trying to figure out, where am I going? What direction am I walking in? Am I being guided, or am I stumbling? Walking through the darkness from within, clinging tight to Jesus Christ, going in. I find myself stuck in a cycle. Live life, see wrong, make right. Keep up the good work, keep up the fight. Till I let my guard down for 1 second, and the vision gets threatened. By my lack of being repentant, flooding my mind with resentment. God, I'm so sorry. I fail you daily. Yet you welcome me with open arms, and you're always there when I turn around. I so easily forget that you created the ground that I stand on each day. I take for granted the fact that you are the way, the truth, and the life, the only way. Guide me, please. I don't want a life of ease, and I don't want a people please. Father, I only want to be with you. Naturally falling to my knees because you are the only one who I want to appease. I need you, Lord. I need you from the start of my day. Lead every step of the way. It's you I desire. Filling me with your spirit, there is no honor that is higher than I can obtain as a man whose whole life would be in vain if I didn't come to the understanding that you are the goal. You are the mission. You bring the joy. You bring satisfaction to my soul. The hunger for purpose is instilled by you. Because I was born to be your child from conception in the womb. My parents gave me to you, and as much as I fought that not to be true, I wish I learned it sooner. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you for the guidance you instilled, and the knowledge and the wisdom that it built. The beauty that it created in my heart, for I stand on 2 feet knowing I am your art. I am your masterpiece. It is my honor to be filled with your peace. I will do everything I can to earn my keys to your eternal kingdom. I can't wait to be right next to you. Take me when you need me, for I am ready for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's powerful.
Yeah, I thought so. Lots in there to chew over and to perhaps come back to.
Yeah.
I'll put the link to it in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
So watch it again if they want.
I like what he was saying about, you know, for I am your art, I am your masterpiece kind of thing. And it's my honour to be filled with your. I like those lines. Yeah, well, they were good. Yeah.
Good stuff. So we're going to continue thinking about these themes, and we're going to be reading from Isaiah, the book of prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 35. If you want to be finding it up, following it along on your phone or in your Bibles, that'd be great. So Lynn, you're going to read for us from Isaiah 35, is that right?
Right, all of Isaiah 35 as far as I know.
Yep, all of Isaiah 35.
Okay. Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the God, of the Lord, splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hand, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. A highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up onto it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Yeah. It's a very old song based on the last verse of that.
Yeah, there is. I don't know if it's the same one I'm thinking of.
Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads.
Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. You can actually sing it in a round as well.
I'm sure you can.
Should we not?
I think that even if one could, and even if we could, on Zoom, it would be a really bad idea.
It'd be a bad idea for Lynn to sing anywhere. Oh.
We'd really scare everyone on the stream if we tried to do. Oh, dear. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So anyway, yes.
Good words, though, in that. I love the last, is it the last verse? It says, sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Yeah.
That hope and that promise. I love that.
Yes, the song does actually go on to that bit as well. Anyway, the other reading we're going to have this time is from Luke chapter 1. Liz, are you reading for us from Luke chapter 1?
I am. Luke chapter 1, verse 57, I think. 37. No, 57. Oh, I can't see.
Put the glasses on time.
I've got my contact lenses in, but my eyesight is really bad. Okay, the birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbours were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's house with him.
Thank you. So we're going to have a little look at that. We're going to look particularly actually at the Isaiah passage. But if you've got questions or thoughts on the Luke passage, then do chip those in as well, either on the comment stream or by email if you'd like to, or in the Facebook group. Join the conversation. Liz will keep an eye on that. If you've got comments or observations or questions, I'll pick them up in a conversation in a minute. That'd be great. So anyway, last week we were, and if you didn't catch last week, you can catch up on the podcast or on YouTube or on Facebook. Anyway, we were thinking about, in this Advent period, what it means for us to prepare the way of the Lord. We heard about John the Baptist, particularly out in the desert, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And we found out what it meant for him. And we were thinking about what it meant for us about believing that Jesus is going to return, about caring tenderly for others, and about sharing the good news with others. Kind of that's how we can prepare the way for Jesus. But this week, we're thinking about another way. Again, we're in Isaiah, and it's also talked about Jesus in his life and ministry. And this is the way that the Lord prepares for us. So last week it was us preparing the way of the Lord. And this is week, it's about the way the Lord has prepared for us. Do you see the difference? As I said, we are once again...
Can you repeat that bit? Because my internet just cut out.
Okay, so last week we were on us preparing the way of the Lord. And yeah. This week we're on us walking the way that the Lord prepares for us.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay.
And again, we're in Isaiah, who is God's messenger, who is sharing with God's people. And once again, we've picked up an encouraging bit of Isaiah in between all the warnings. He's saying on the other side of the disaster that's coming, there is some hope. And actually, if you read on into Isaiah 36, you find the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, threatening Jerusalem. And Jerusalem doesn't fall this time, but it will eventually. And the people of God are driven into exile. And Isaiah shares this prophecy with them to give them hope while they're in exile. And if we look back at the history since the exile, we can see that some of it is fulfilled. So the people of God do return to Jerusalem. They are singing as they come back to Zion. But it isn't the whole story. There are some parts of the vision that weren't fulfilled then that haven't actually even been fulfilled now. We're not there yet, but we will be. And that's actually the hope of Advent, that we're not there yet, but we will be. Preparations for celebrating Jesus' birth are kind of in full swing. We were talking a little bit earlier about having been singing some carols. But more importantly, in Advent, we remember that we're looking forward to Jesus' return. The journey continues as we follow the way of the Lord, the way that he has prepared for us. The way that what Isaiah describes as the King's highway. Now, let's think about this way a bit more. In John's account of Jesus' life in John 14, Jesus is coming to the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, and he's talking to his friends about the fact that he's going to leave them, that he's going to die and be raised to life and go ahead of them to prepare a place for them to be with him. And he tells them that they know the way there. And good old Thomas pipes up and says, excuse me, we don't actually know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And interestingly, Jesus doesn't respond by telling him where he's going. He says, you do know the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way to where we're going. And actually, we don't even need to know the details. Like, we don't know very much about what happens, whether it's heaven or recreated earth or all that kind of stuff. The Bible kind of paints lots of pictures, but doesn't tell us very much detail. Actually, it's not very important. What's much more important is the way we get there. It's much more about following Jesus and trusting him that where we're going to end up is going to be right.
Yeah.
Jesus is the way to where we're going. And actually, the early Christians were known as those who belonged to the way. When we're reading through Acts, through the life of the early church, we know that this guy called Paul, he wrote a lot of the New Testament, all these letters to places. We know he was a great evangelist. Before that, he was called Saul, and he used to persecute the church. And in Acts 9, it says this, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Before we were known as Christians, we were known as those who belong to the way. So, as for those now who wait for Jesus, who follow Jesus, who belong to the way, that's who we are now. But what does that mean? Well, there's one of the things I love about this way of describing being Christian. It captures so much meaning. I'm not going to be able to cover it all this evening, but if the way is one of those words, it's a very short word, but it can be used to mean all kinds of different things. They have the same kind of, it's all in the same semantic field, to use a posh word, but it's actually got lots of different applications and nuances of meaning. So we're going to think about some of them this now, but actually they might just be sparks for your own reflection. And these are just a few of mine. So Jesus is the way means that Jesus is the route, Jesus is the road, and Jesus is the manner. And that's manner with an ER on the end, not an A. I mean, Jesus,
it is
the manna with an A as well, because Jesus is the bread of life. But in this particular case, we're thinking about Jesus the manna, as in ER. So, Jesus is the root. So, Jesus is the answer to the question, which way shall we go? Which route shall we go? Which way shall we go? Will we turn left or right? Now, for those of us who use sat-nav, we're quite often given a choice of routes. So my car sat nav will say, do you want to go the eco way, the long way, no, the eco way, the quick way, or the shortest way? Google Maps, if you use Google Maps, quite often gives you various different options. If you're into paper maps, particularly perhaps for walking, you might choose a scenic route. You might want to avoid particular types of road. We have a choice about which route we take through life, and for each of us, I believe Jesus has a route through life and that he's calling us to follow. And actually, for us to do that, it means we need to bring our decisions to Jesus and say, which way shall we go? And when he tells us, actually doing it is quite good as well, rather than not doing it. Now, there are a couple of health warnings with this. Some Christians seem to think that God's plan for their lives, the Jesus route, is a bit like a tightrope. It's difficult to keep on it, and if you overbalance and fall over, you're done. Maybe like one of those early first generation sat navs that if you went off the prescribed route, all it could do was say, perform a U-turn, perform a U-turn, perform a U-turn.
I'm sure yours used to sound really cross with you when it did that. That old talk used to be.
But there doesn't
U-turn.
It doesn't appear to be, there doesn't seem to be much grace or forgiveness in that. I think Jesus is much more like a modern sat-nav system, which just kind of just reroutes you automatically. Now, there are limits to this. If you're trying to get somewhere and you keep doing exactly the opposite of what the sat-nav tells you, you are not going to get there. There are limits, but there is also, I think, grace and forgiveness. And the second health warning is a balance between activism and paralysis. See, in the Bible, we find commands both to wait on the Lord and to get on with what's in front of us. I find that balance quite difficult. Sometimes I go charging off without my own good ideas, without actually waiting and saying, okay, God, is this what you want me to do? Or have I just had a bright, am I just had a bright idea? And other times I can just sit there thinking, oh, I haven't got any bright ideas. I'm a bit bored. I'm just going to, But actually, there are standing orders. Love your neighbour. You don't need to hear God particularly telling you to do that. You just do it because that's a standing order. So we need to get that balance between passivity and just doing things for the sake of it. And actually having Christian friends you can talk this through with and pray through decisions with is really important. So we're followers of the way. We follow the route that Jesus gives us. So that's the first one. The second one is Jesus is the road. Jesus is the answer to the question, how do we get from here to there? Last week, Liz and I were driving down to Hereford, down through Much Wenlock and across to Ludlow. And we got, just before you got to Ludlow Racecourse, and the road was blocked. The roadworks, and not just single lane road, the whole road blocked. It's like, okay, great. And we had to turn right and go around this single track road. And there were a few of us having to do it in convoy. And we had a little adventure through 2 miles of Herefordshire countryside we weren't expecting to. And then eventually we came out on the racecourse, just probably 300 yards past the closure. We'd driven a very long way to only go 300 yards. And the thing is, when God created the world, we read that human beings were in the presence of God. We read about them walking in the garden with God. Then we decided we knew better and wanted to go our own way. There's that word again, go our own way. And that closed, blocked the road for us to be able to get into God's presence. Our shame and our guilt block us from the presence of God. And one of the things Jesus did was come to do was to open up that way. And in Hebrews 10, it says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. See, Jesus' death and resurrection deals with all our guilt and shame. He lays down his body so that we can walk over it into the presence of God. That's what Jesus has done for us. That's why we love him so much, because he is the road. Jesus is the way. He's the road into the presence of God. And thirdly, Jesus is the manna, E-R. Jesus is the answer to the question, how should we travel where? Walking as Jesus walked. We look to Jesus and imitate him. So we travel in holiness. Isaiah talks about only the righteous, the pure in heart, being able to walk on the highway of the King. And that's true, but we also know that we're not holy, or at least I'm not, or righteous. But actually, Jesus gives us righteousness so that we can walk in holiness. We can walk as those who are pure in heart. And we travel with wonder. I don't know how many of us have ever been on a walk with a three-year-old. You don't go quickly. Every single leaf and stick and stone is fascinating.
Yeah.
It can be annoying when you want to get somewhere in a hurry, but Jesus did say that the kingdom of God belongs to those who become like little children. I wonder if one of the things we can learn from children is just to take a breath, not to be quite in such a hurry to get places, but actually just to lift our eyes from the pavement and to the skies and to the trees and to the flowers and God's creation and walk in wonder. I mean, Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, consider the birds of the air, consider this. And I wonder what we miss by not taking the time to consider the world around us, to wonder at it. We travel in holiness, we travel in wonder, we travel together. Isaiah talks about strengthening feeble hands, encouraging those with fearful hearts. So we strengthen and encourage each other on the journey. In Matthew 12, we hear Jesus described as fulfilling another of Isaiah's prophecies. A bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. That's how Jesus walked. That's the way we're to walk. That's the way Jesus walked. That's the way we're to walk. And we walk in celebration. The whole of that Isaiah passage seems to me to be full of celebration. You have the deserts being glad at the beginning. We have gushing springs in the middle. We have bursting crocuses. We have singing on the way into Zion at the end. Just celebrating, celebrating. And that is how we're called to walk. We value celebrating at All Saints. It's been really hard over the last couple of years to find things to celebrate. But actually, sometimes celebrating in the face of the difficulties and the challenges is really important. Sometimes we celebrate what's already happened, and sometimes we celebrate in faith what is going to happen. So Jesus is the way we're to walk. He's the route. He's the road. He's the example. We walk the same way Jesus walks. We follow Jesus in the way. It's just such a rich picture for us.
Mm.
So as we continue to walk through Advent, let's walk in the way that Jesus has prepared for us. Follow Jesus as our route, our road, and in the manner he shows us. Mm. And as we do, let's invite others to walk in the same way. Mm. Yay.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are some of my thoughts. If you want to chip into the conversation, please do on the stream. Liz will pick things up, but we'll have a bit of a chat about it now. It might be stuff that I've talked about. It might be other stuff from the readings, or just some of these other thoughts around Jesus being the way. Lynn, any reflections?
Yeah, well, my brain did a sort of a... I got caught up on something you said.
That's all right, go for it.
Quite interesting. But you said God created the world, and then I was thinking, and since then, we've made roads, paths, ways, everywhere, you know, we've built roads to everywhere. And I thought, and not only that, it's also in the sky. I mean, somewhere there's a massive computer, you know, maps all the flights of planes that non-Earth collide in the sky. Air traffic control on this, you know, so that a flight from Rio de Janeiro to London does not crash into one from Kyoto to Korea. And the same with shipping lanes. There are ships at any given moment of time, there are thousands of planes in the sky, you know, making ways, if you like, and thousands of ships on the seas making ways. And none of them, well, hopefully none of them collides with the others because of computers and stuff to make ways. But in some ways, mankind has become a lot more focused on the destination than the journey.
Mm.
You know, we order something and we want it now.
Now.
You know, yeah. Amazon Prime is a wonderful example, you know. I want this thing and I want it now, or at least tomorrow, or at least within 28 days. On something, you know, and no matter if it's got to be shipped from China, I'm thinking I go into the supermarket and I'm fantastic, I want grapes now, even though they're out of season, then they've come from Ecuador or Peru or something. And we've focused on the destination and forgotten it, like the three-year-old. You said the three-year-old has got it right. They are focusing on the journey and seeing the sticks and the stones and the path. And that is the fascination.
Mm.
So the path, the journey, is part of the learning process. It's part of life. And if you blank that out and think only on what I'm going to see at the end of it, and as I said, I don't, you know, God doesn't give you a plan. He doesn't give you a map like a paper map and say, okay, that's the way. Usually you go so far and then you think, where do I go now, God?
Mm.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you'll be doing in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Yeah. And if you look back and think, did I know that? And would I have thought that? No.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're so right about that. I think, you know, what you say about us wanting it now or wanting it yesterday, we apply that in our Christian lives as well. Along the route, when Tim, you were talking about how you know, Jesus is away, so we don't actually have to always know where we're going as long as we're going with Jesus. But we we so often want to know where we're going, and we get really impatient with God, kind of, well, where are you taking me next? And, you know, and that kind of impatience. And that's very human, isn't it? But
an element of fear as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to jump off the cliff unless I know what's at the bottom.
Yeah.
Faith is jumping off the cliff into the arms of Jesus anyway.
Yeah. It's kind of like learning to let go.
Mm.
Knowing that he is walking there alongside us, and we don't have to be, you know, keeping doing that. And I really liked the whole thing about the toddlers as well, and it made me think about I was just, even just tonight, singing the carols, I was sitting there outside and just looking up at the sky, and it was just sort of in the moment for a while. It was just, you know, the sky was really beautiful. There was lots of clouds, but sort of layers of clouds all in different hues of blue and grey, and it was just really beautiful. And the moon was poking out, and it was just like God's creation, God's creativity. And yeah, it's just taking time to do those things along the way that are really rich, I think.
I'm really bad at that. Any of my family who've ever been on a hill walk with me will know full well that you don't stop.
Oh.
We are here to walk up this hill and then walk back down it, and we will stop briefly for a snack at the top.
We're like, I want to set up a picnic.
No picnics, no stopping.
Get on with it.
We get home so that we can tick off that we've climbed that hill. We're not too worried about the view from the top.
Oh, you're so annoying.
Yeah, that would annoy me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he has to compromise for us because we make him, but you know, he's annoying. So there's a few thoughts on the stream here. Danny says, so easy to get distracted along the way. So unless I keep touching base and reflect, refuel and try and continue on. Yeah, that's true. And Charlotte's talking about taking in the moment. And Dan is saying, yes, yeah, seeing God's beauty along the way, which is, yeah, what we were saying, making us feel grateful. Charlotte says, the world has become very fast and busy and no one stops to smell the flowers anymore.
That's
true. Barry says, sometimes the journey can be hard and then the destination can be overcome. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Sorry, what did you say? The destination can be
a... Sometimes the journey can be hard and then the destination can be a comfort.
Yeah.
Once we get there, you relax into it.
Also, I think the promise and the hope of the destination. So for instance, if you take it back to a biblical example, the journey through the desert out of Egypt for the people of God was really hard and it took ages, but actually the promise of the destination, the fact that they were going to get to the promised land in the end, kept them going. So it was the comfort of their faith in the destination that enable them to get through the tough times.
Mm.
And I think also on that one, perhaps the accompaniment of God with them. And so perhaps that's part of the comfort now as well. So they had the fiery, cloudy pillar leading them. And we have the Holy Spirit with us walking through the tough times.
Mm.
So yeah, absolutely, the comfort of the destination, but also the comfort of the traveling companions, perhaps.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes God takes you where you don't think you want to go either. You know, God will say, well, this is the way. I'm taking it to here. And you think, you sure, God? I don't know about that. Really? The Church of England? What? Are you sure about this?
Yeah. And then, yeah, there's a few more sort of agreements. Becky says, oh, welcome, Becky. It's lovely to have you. She says, I totally agree. Everyone is too busy getting things done. They don't realise what's going on around them. We all need to fall and appreciate the here and now.
Mm.
Yeah. Practice some mindfulness. It's a good thing to do. Oh, and Ali asks an interesting question. She says, in this Isaiah chapter, the way seems wide and vast, and yet the New Testament talks about the way being narrow. Just pondering that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's one to throw out. Because it does, doesn't it? That Isaiah passage about the highway being wide and vast and wide open, and Jesus talks about the narrow path.
It also says wicked fools will not go about on it. You know, it's only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. So you know, there's going to be no danger, no lion will be there, no ferocious beast, but only the holy, the unclean and wicked fools will not be there. So it's kind of narrow in a way, but wide in a way.
Yes.
It's just word.
Want to have your COVID pass to get in, as it were.
Well, I'm in danger of going, and that's a little bit like Jesus. But
what, COVID pass?
You're a wicked fool. You're out.
Well, only in the sense that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm thinking as I go. So just, I might hit heresy here, but just.
Oh.
Okay. So if you're vaccinated, you don't have to contract COVID to have an immunity to it. Yeah. So that is.
I really didn't mean a COVID pass, you know. I was like,
no, it's got him on a tangent. So we go do.
So it is a little bit like Jesus, because of Jesus, we have immunity to death.
Yeah.
Because even though we don't have to get yeah.
Sorry, Liz's face. This might be slightly tenuous.
I'm going to stop digging now. I'm sure there's something there somewhere, but it might be a bit complicated. So I'm going to stop digging now. Anyway,
I'll bother with that question, one for a sermon.
And Ali's question, yeah, you do get all the way through scripture, you get this tension between the grace of God being wide enough to include everybody, but that being dependent on our response to the grace of God, and that can be quite narrow. And it is there's a lovely quote, I think it's Adrian Platt, and it's something like the call to walking as a Christian is to walk the narrowest path yourself with your arms wide enough to embrace as many other people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we as people, as Christians, can try and we can be quite judgmental and insist everybody else should be walking a really narrow path, and if they fall off back to the tightrope, if they fall off the tightrope, then they'll be on the pale. Whereas actually, it's about by the grace of God, walking as narrow path ourselves as possible and being as holy and pure as we can, whilst being gracious and compassionate and open armed to as much of the world as possible.
Being slower to judge.
And I think Jesus is the best example of that, because he was without sin. He was holy as his Father was holy. He walked a completely holy path, but his arms were wide enough to encompass me, to encompass tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, Pharisees, religious rulers, the rich, the poor, everybody. And he didn't compromise, but he did embrace. Lots of really good thoughts there.
It's still ongoing on the stream. We've got lots tonight.
Oh, so, excellent. Good. As I said, the whole idea of the way and what that means, just even this week, maybe you'll just notice as you're using the word the way, just think about, oh, crumbs, how might that be Jesus? Because we use it a lot to mean lots of slightly different things, but all related. And I think Jesus can be any of them.
Yeah, and actually, Becky's just reminded us of the poem, you know, Footprints, about walking along life's way alone. It feels like it can feel like you're walking along life's way alone, but God carries you during the hard times. And I think that's been a really helpful picture of the way to lots of people, hasn't it, along?
Yeah, it has.
Over years, really. So,
There are slightly tongue-in-cheek versions as well, which involve, and what are those bum prints? Well, that's where you sat down and refused to move. And what are those lines? Well, that's where I had to drag you with your heels dragging through the sand because you wouldn't move.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And
they're good.
Right. So let's have some music to help us reflect on some of these things, and that will lead us into some prayer, which I think Lynn is leading and got some thought starters for us. Do pray for each other on the comment stream if you're with us live. If you'd like us to pray for you to put that on as well, we'll pick those up. But for now, let's have a bit of music.
Hi. Well, Lord, we'll pray in a week, a month even, which has seen such a lot of turmoil. We pray for those in government. We pray that they will have wisdom and honour and truth. We have not seen a lot of any of those. But we would pray, Lord, for leaders who would lead and have all of the above to tackle the various and difficult problems that face this country, these peoples, and the world, in fact. We pray also, Lord, for those affected by the tornadoes in America, those who've lost homes and businesses, their lives, and everything they know, Lord. This again is climate change, and we pray for the emergency services and those helping. We pray that they will be able to celebrate Christmas despite their losses. Pray, Lord, for those for whom Christmas is going to be tough this year. Maybe they have lost loved ones in the past few years. And those who are bereaved, those who are ill, those who are struggling financially, physically, mentally. We pray that they will be able to find Jesus at this time of Christmas. We pray also with the situation in the wider community. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for carers and for the NHS frontline staff whom the burden of care falls upon. The vaccination programme is fantastic, and we praise you, God, for the science that is making it possible. But the burden of getting that out there falls again upon the NHS, and we pray for NHS workers and volunteers who are trying to put that out there. We pray for those, especially at this time, who are affected by worry or stress or mental health issues. And for those who are unvaccinated, for whatever reason, whether because they choose not to be, or whether, as in many parts of the world, because there just has not been vaccines. We pray for those in the global south, Lord, from Africa and for India, for many countries where only 1 or 2% of the population has been vaccinated. And we pray for a more equal distribution of vaccine across the world. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are coming, and we pray that you will come to a broken and dying world, to a broken people, and be with us, Lord. Let us celebrate your coming at Christmas time and find hope for the future. Amen.
Lord, I lift up all these lovely people on the stream tonight, and pray for them now. Lord, I pray for this lady Caroline, who is struggling with depression and with her autistic son. I just pray, Lord, that you surround her with your love. And I pray for Becky, and I pray for her father-in-law George, with end-stage dementia in a care home. Lord. Father, we don't always have words, Lord, to pray for these kind of situations, but we just lift George up to you now and pray that somehow he will know your love surrounding him, really close to him. And Lord, we lift up Sue to you, who's having a procedure on Friday, trying to help find this tumour for when they do the operation. Lord, we really pray that you guide the hands of the surgeons to find the right place. And I really pray, Lord, that you just give Sue peace as she waits for that. And Father, lift Danny up to you, And I pray for her as she goes through all these operations and blockages in her bowel and has such acute pain. And Lord, sometimes she feels abandoned, but I really pray, Lord, that in those times she'll just be able to hold on to you and hold on to hope, even though the pain is so acute, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And pray for her husband, Tony, as well, who seems to have long COVID, even though he's an athlete. And I really pray, Lord, for healing and recovery for him and just strength to get through, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray for James, who seems to be suffering the effects of anemia, low iron in his blood. And I pray for Adele, who is undergoing eye surgery soon. I pray for everybody whose treatments or operations are scheduled, and thank God that they're able to go ahead, Lord, in these very uncertain times. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Really good to spend some time with this week. We will have Shift Church next week, but then we will take a week off. We'll have a break between Christmas and New Year, but then we'll be back first week January. We are a bit short of folk for the team for next term because of various other commitments that people have. So if you think you could be one of the faces on screen, one of the voices on the podcast, you don't have to be local to Telford, that would be great. Do drop us an email, put a note in the Facebook group, we'll be in touch.
And I would encourage you, because you don't have to be special to be here.
No.
We're all very special.
We're all special to God, Lynn.
We're not rocket scientists, is what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, I was reading an article. Where was I reading an article this week? They'd done some like brain scan tests on rocket scientists and brain surgeons, discovered that rocket scientists and brain surgeons aren't on average any smarter than the average population. They just happen to have had the training and the education, but they're not inherently more intelligent or cleverer. So there you go. We could all be brain surgeons. Well, I got shaky hands. That's more of a problem, I think, when you're a brain surgeon.
Oh, gosh, yes. They must have a high IQ, though.
Well, no, apparently not.
Well, there's a lot of training. Well, you've got to... How many years you've got to study to be a doctor?
Well, many.
And then
that's just
more to be a surgeon.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure there are brain surgeons and rocket scientists listening who are going to write
anyway, it. We don't need brains.
Surgeons and rocket scientists listening to Shift Church, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, enough of this nonsense. Have a great week, everybody. And see you or speak to you next week. Say goodbye, Liz.
Bye, Liz.
Say goodbye, Lynn.
Bye, Lynn.
And it's goodbye from me. God bless everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.